Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. We have the great privilege of having the missionary Go Oishi come, and he's going to open up the Word of God and be a blessing. Come up, sir. We're very thankful. I've enjoyed getting to know this young man, and it's nice to meet someone else who's annoyingly happy like I am, that's excited. You know, one of the things that I enjoy, that I see in myself, is that we're still young and stupid and believe that God can do all things.
Praise the Lord.
With that type of thing, you go far when you just trust in what God can do. So, preacher,
thank you so very much, Pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, once again, my wife and I, we've been overjoyed by getting to be with you all. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. And praise the Lord. It's what a wonderful thing it is, not just to be here, but also to get to have that fellowship with other believers. This is, I think, our second or third time we've gotten to be in a service where there's actually people there. Before that, we're thankful for the other meetings that God has allowed us to still participate in by going to other churches' properties and preaching a stream service for them. But there's definitely a difference between a bunch of empty pews and a room full of people that love the Lord, people that are hungry for God's word, people that are just interested in hearing from God, and what a blessing and an encouragement, and what a treat that is to my wife and I, what it does to our spirit. Thank you so much for being a smiling church, for being a friendly church, for being a singing church, and I think that is wonderful that it is so obvious that you love the Lord, that you love being here, and that you love God's word. Praise the Lord for that. Well, because we love God's word, let's open it to the book of 2 Timothy and chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as you're opening there, Pastor, I'm going to ask you once again, what time should I turn the service back over to you? Right there. Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Let me go ahead and have this out so that I can keep close track on time here. And by the way, Pastor was mentioning about having another annoyingly happy and loud and talkative person. Well, if you check into the podcast on Monday, you get to see two annoyingly happy and talkative and loud people speak to each other in a Q&A form. And so if you're interested in seeing that, we had a great time yesterday. so please do tune in. I think you will be blessed by it. Another side note that I wanted to mention from the slides and the announcements that Pastor was showing, it was actually during a teen camp from my teenage years that God got a hold of me that I surrendered to preach the gospel with the rest of my life. And then coupled with that, I also want to mention that it was at the age 17 that I surrendered my life to serve God in the means of foreign missions at a missions conference when another missionary came through. A lot of times I found that the word deputation has so much of a negative connotation, both to missionaries and pastors and people that hear that word. People think of it as a time of toil and a time of trial. And a part of that is true. There's some truth to that. There is some lessons learned. There's some hard lessons learned on the deputation trail. But at the same time, I've also seen it as my one shot at being able to correlate the need of gospel preaching missionaries around the world to the churches here in the United States. It's oftentimes when you hear missionaries' testimonies of their call to service or them surrendering to service, 9 times out of 10, it's a result of another missionary coming through on deputation. And speaking of treasuring our trials, deputation has been a treasure for my wife and I. As we've seen many young people get to know the Lord, many young people surrender to the cause of foreign missions, to the cause of getting the gospel out. And please know that my wife and I, we're still on deputation, of course, but as we come to these churches, we're not trying to fake happiness, we're not trying to fake joy. We are genuinely excited about being here and what God can do. Let's go ahead and pray, and we will jump right into the message. Heavenly Father, what an amazing God you are. Lord, we thank you for your graciousness. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we're living in an ever-changing world, but you never change. And Father, there are so many things in our lives that causes us to hear many noises. And oftentimes, your still small voice gets forgotten or is left unheard. But I pray that this morning you'll help us to sanctify this time for your sake, to set it apart for your honor and glory. Father, for just a few moments, I pray that you'll help us to lay aside all the distractions, all the worries, all the fears, everything that's going on in our minds. I pray that you'll help us to cast those to the side and put them in subjection so that we can give you the undivided attention that you deserve. And God, I pray that you, as your word is open, that as we focus our full attention to your word, Lord, I pray that you'll allow your word to help us to change and to help us to be encouraged and to help us to be the maximum Christians that you want us to be. God, if there's anybody in here who has never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that today that you'll convict their hearts, and today will be the day that they accept that free gift of salvation and trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that if there's any Christian in here that is weary of the world around them, ready to give up and just tired, I pray that you'll give them the strength and the energy and the unction to keep on going for you for many days to come. Lord, I pray that you'll do that which we cannot do on our own. I pray that you'll spark a revival in our hearts even today. In Jesus Christ, your name we pray. Amen. Here in the book of 2 Timothy, it's a very similar situation as when, as around the time frame that Paul was writing the book that I was reading in the Sunday school service of the 2 Corinthians. Paul was coming towards the end of his life, and he was writing some of his final letters. And this is a very personal letter for Paul, as this is a letter that Paul was writing directly to Timothy, somebody that he had the privilege of discipling, some young man that followed Paul around in his ministry and got to see God do miracles. They suffered together. They cried together. They saw great things together. And now that we're coming towards the end of Paul's life, and Timothy is progressing in his ministry, Paul gives certain charges that I believe is very applicable to us today. And so we come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'd like to start reading from verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And by the way, speaking of this last days here, I want to go ahead and just give a quick reminder that in the book of Acts in chapter 2, Peter announced that the last days have started. We've been in the last days for the last 2,000 years, and this is very much applicable to us. When prophecies have been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, Peter announced the start and the beginning of the last days. Paul is saying, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And it is not awkward and it is not weird or out of place whatsoever for Paul to be teaching Timothy of the last days nearly 2,000 years ago. No, this is very applicable to our time as well. Verse 2, the Bible says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." It sounds like the world that we're living in, doesn't it? Despisers of those that are good. We see all the way, we see everywhere on the news, we see everywhere on Facebook, we see everywhere all around politics, all around America, this land that we love, full of despisers of those that are good. That thing which we know is good and true according to the word of God. Good, as in man and woman being marriage. Good, as in children obeying their parents. Good, as in the young generation respecting the older generation. Good, as in reading God's word. Good, as in praying. Good, as in doing all things for God's glory. Good, as in never taking God's name in vain and never disrespecting the word of God or the person of God, but living each and every single day, consciously realizing that there is an almighty God. Good. But of course, any of those things have now been labeled as politically incorrect. Good as in keeping unborn children alive. Good as in justice. Good as in peace. All these things that are good, that we know to be good, that we know to be right according to scriptures, have all of a sudden been despised in our generation. Labeled as politically incorrect. Labeled as something that we are not anymore. Something as what used to be moral. Now these days, many people define morality on their own terms. And most people have turned morality and what's good and what's right and wrong to be subjective. something that as long as they feel is right, then it must be right for them. If it feels good to them, it must be good for them. And to accept every single person's idea of right and wrong, that's the world that we live in today. Despisers of those that are good. Let's keep on reading here in verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Christians all around America, this is one of the areas where I believe that we truly do need revival. Christians now these days, of course, and I'm not talking about us specifically or trying to point us out personally, but generally in our generation, I believe that you would agree with me that we have seen, especially during COVID-19, that Christians have come to love their health and safety above the things of God. That Christians have become more fearful of a disease that has a fairly low mortality rate than they fear God. That Christians have come to a point where they love pleasures more than becoming lovers of God. Where in times past, we see and we read biographies and stories of men who were willing to be martyred for the name of Jesus Christ. Missionaries who were ready to go to the mission field, dangerous mission fields, knowing that they might not come back alive, determined to die there. But over the course of the years, we've seen that dwindle. We've seen an emphasis on pleasure. We've seen an emphasis on safety. We've seen an emphasis on health above the cause of Christ, above the things of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly men laden with sins and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Skip down to verse 10. But thou, Paul addressing Timothy very personally here, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So now in Paul's conversation to Timothy, we see two categories, two lists of things here. Over here we have a description of the wicked world that Timothy is going to have to thrive in. A world that is constantly becoming worse and worse. And Paul is having to address a young preacher that is going to see worst things that Paul saw in his own lifetime. That's going to have to battle worst situations than Paul had to battle in an ever-decaying, ever-deprived world. And he is listing all these things that the world is going to become during Timothy's ministry. And over here we see the things that Timothy have already seen, the victory that God has allowed Paul and Timothy to see, the persecutions, the afflictions, and on top of that, coupled with the doctrine and the manner of life and the purpose and the reason to why they're doing all these things. We have two things that hang in the balance here. And in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul is being very transparent with Timothy here and saying, Timothy, listen, things are going to get worse. You are going to have to face worse persecutions. You will see the people that you love fall further and further into sin. You'll see the country that you love fall further and further into sin, and things are going to get worse. And there are going to be challenges. There are going to be persecutions. There are going to be more and more people that hate God. And in verse 14, we come to this two-word phrase, but continue. But continue. For just a few moments, I'd like to focus on that tiny little phrase. And I want you to understand what a powerful phrase that is after everything that Paul's listed. Paul literally gives to Timothy everything that he has to look forward to in ministry. Persecutions, seducers waxing worse and worse, people that are going to betray him, people that are going to hurt him. And Paul is warning Timothy, saying, no matter how hard you work in ministry, no matter how many doors you knock, no matter how much you try to disciple people, overall in your country, you're going to see people get worse and worse. You'll see the world around you becoming harder and harder in their hearts. And then Paul gives the charge, but continue. The world might change around you, but Timothy, you don't change. The world might try to get you to quit, but Timothy, you don't quit. The world around you is going to hate God more and more. You just love God more and more. The world around you, you're going to see them forsake God and forsake the things of God and forsake even basic morality, forsake even common sense. But Timothy, you continue. Why? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Here I believe we learn the very, very important principle that no matter how much the world changes, and no matter how many times the world tries to redefine right and wrong, right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. The truth remains to be the truth. It is not subjective. We know this Bible to be true. And by the way, we have been assured of it. We've not only learned of it, but we've been assured of it. And time again, God has proven himself to us in our lives. I believe you and I would agree with me on that. And so Timothy is being encouraged to continue in those things. While the world is falling around about him, while the world is changing all around him, Paul gives a charge to just simply continue in the things that he knows for certain is right, is true, is good. Because those things does not change. Because its author never changes. The world has changed around us, but God has not changed. Turmoils have happened in the state of Wisconsin. In the entire in our entire nation, we've seen ridiculous things happen all over. I mean, news is always very discouraging, isn't it, Pastor? Facebook is always discouraging. And as we see the world decay around us, notice how not a single time does Paul, or does even God through the Holy Spirit in God's word, there's not a single time that God tells us, okay, you can back off now. There's not a single point in the Bible where God gives us an excuse to stop trying to raise our families, right? Amen. To stop working on our marriage, to stop trying to win souls for Christ, to stop being faithful to him. No, the charge always is, and always has been, and always will be, but continue. Verse 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Notice the word "are," which are able. Doesn't say which was able. Doesn't say that these things used to be able to make thee wise unto salvation before the world decayed. It used to be powerful. It used to be good. No, which are. Still are. Verse 16, all scripture is. Doesn't say was. Doesn't say these things worked in the good old days. These things were relevant back in the days where the people of America used to love God a little bit more. These things worked back in the day where God was still in the public schools. No. Paul says, as these things get worse and worse, and at the bottom, at the very bottom of your ministry, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And look at this, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We are living in a day where the world is constantly decaying. And you and I would agree with me that it is decaying fast, getting further and further away from God. But let me encourage you that the Bible encouragement and the Bible charge for to us Christians who are living in such a time as this. And Paul's charge to Timothy, who will grow up in such a time as that. And by the way, one of the things that are dawning on me now, looking back at my teenage years, my youth pastor did everything that he could to disciple me, to try to grow me. Again, many of you heard my salvation testimony towards the beginning of this service. And before, you know, I came to know the Lord as my Savior, I did not know who God was. I didn't know anything about eternity. I mean, I came from a completely non-religious background. And when I was starting to just barely grow in Christ, my youth pastor taught me quite a few things. He spent a lot of time with me. He invested a lot of time in me. But one of the things that he couldn't do is to convince my parents to send me to their Christian school. And all throughout my teenage years, I went to public school from kindergarten all the way through senior year. And right now I am thinking, I wonder what was going on in my youth pastor's mind as he was trying to teach me doctrine, teach me how to win people to Christ, teach me how to stay holy. As 5 days a week, I went to school that is going to teach me the exact opposite thing. As he had to wave goodbye to me Sunday night after service, as I was about to start my week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, full of peer pressure, full of people that are going to try to pull me away from holiness, from teachers that were trying to teach me the world's philosophies that there is no God and that there's no reason to live for anything eternal. As I was about to send off into a school where things were much worse and the situation was much worse than the days that my youth pastor went to school, I wonder what went through his mind. But one thing that I do remember him telling me over and over again, don't change. Don't quit. You just simply continue. You heard things today on Sunday morning and Sunday night, the things that you know to be true, the things that you know are good. The world around you will constantly change the definition of what is good, will constantly change their definition of what is right and wrong. But go you stay in the scripture and you continue in God's word and you continue and set your foot and anchor yourself in what does not change was the charge that my youth pastor always gave me. But continue. And of course, no doubt, my wife and I, we don't have children yet, but there's a part in our hearts that are already a little bit worried about the world that they have to grow up in. Every generation seems to get worse and worse. And from our human standpoint, it is easy to get discouraged at this hopeless world, knowing that all the temptations that we faced and all the sin and the wickedness that we saw in our lifetime, that our children will be seeing it tenfold as the world waxes worse and worse. By the way, that's exactly what Paul was doing with Timothy. Paul, who has seen much wickedness in his lifetime, is communicating to the next generation under him, Timothy, who is going to see worse things, who is going to continue seeing the world decay, who is going to have to face more fierce battles, perhaps, than Paul had to face. And Paul's charge was simple. His charge wasn't some miraculous formula that's going to allow Timothy to survive. No, it wasn't some kind of a new idea or some new method to Christianity that is going to help him even more. It wasn't some kind of a new idea that Paul authored in some new formula or some new direction. No, Paul simply told Timothy to just continue. The old paths are still right. The good is still right. Right is still right. It's still worth raising your family holy. It's still worth going to church. It's still worth reading the King James Bible and studying it and loving it and meditating on it and memorizing it and living it. Amen. It's still worth knocking on doors. It's still worth trying to reach this lost and dying world. And Paul's saying to Timothy, the world's going to continue to change. You don't change anything. He tells him, but continue. There are three areas that I see, and there are many more, I'm sure, that I want to just zoom in on just a little bit for the next 7 minutes, the areas that Paul commends Timothy to continue in. First of all, again, just for the sake of trying to ask ourselves a question, what do we continue in, and what are we supposed to continue in? As the world seems to constantly get worse, and as circumstances change, and allies sometimes forsake us, first of all, we need to continue in our walk with the Savior. Continue in our walk with the Savior. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things. Look at the first thing that Paul tells Timothy to continue in. But continue thou in the things. Before he tells him to continue in ministry, before he tells him to continue battling, before he tells Timothy to continue preaching, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul's telling Timothy, never forget that you learned these doctrines from God. You learned your way of life from an almighty, eternal God. And never forget that what you learned and the good things that you've been taught as a child, this doctrine, the way of life, these things, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God's word, came from a divine source. And it doesn't matter how much the world changes, what you learned remains to be true. And you just simply continue in them. First of all, let's continue in our walk with the Savior. By the way, in these ever-changing times, we become more and more weird. as the world strays more and more from this idea of spending time with God. You talk to the average person at the grocery store and you tell them, I've been spending time with God. They will look at you like a crazy man. And by the way, that becomes worse and worse, but it doesn't matter. What's so crazy about spending time with our Creator? What's so crazy about spending time worshiping and adoring the one that gave us eternal life? The one that died on the cross for us. Don't let the world change your philosophies. Don't let the world change your view of God. No, you keep on staying in Scripture. The devil is constantly trying to use tools, constantly using the world around you to try to skew your vision of who God is and who God wants you to be. No, you draw that straight from Scripture. Our God doesn't change. Let's continue our walk with the Savior. And then second of all, let's continue our war against sin. Our war against sin. What do I mean by that? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I believe that Paul is not only telling Timothy this for the sake of him preaching to others, but I believe that Paul is also trying to remind Timothy that this Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine for Timothy. It is profitable for reproof in Timothy's life. It's profitable for correction if Timothy was to stray or he was to come up with some new idea that does not fit in Scripture, that it is profitable to correct him as he studies and falls in love with God's word for instruction in righteousness. And by the way, the moment that we lose our war against sin is when we decide to quit warring, when we decide that our sin is not worth battling anymore. When we decide to give up and just go ahead and take on the world's philosophy that your sin is okay, that it doesn't matter whether you keep battling it or not. The true victory is being able to continue warring against that sin, to being able to continue battling against the habitual sin. And it might take years before you overcome it, and you might have to face many defeats before you're able to overcome habitual sin. But let me tell you this, with the same charge that Paul gave Timothy, you continue warring against that sin. Never let that sin become okay to you. No, you keep on looking at that sin with the same fire indignation that God sees that sin. With that same hatred of that sin, with that same disgust of sin, you keep warring against that thing. You continue. Don't give in to the world's philosophies that sin is okay. Don't give in to the world's philosophies that it is the new normal thing to do. No, you keep warring. Let's not quit in our war against sin. And finally, let's continue in our work in his service. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The end goal of all of this, Paul wanted Timothy, the man of God, to be complete, to be thoroughly furnished, prepared for all the good works that God was going to use Timothy to accomplish during his lifetime, a time in history on this side of eternity that Paul would never see as he passes on to eternal life. Your work in his service. By the way, I don't know about you, but I love this, the 90 minutes of your neighbor that your pastor is promoting. Aren't you tired of not getting to witness to somebody? I know I am. Aren't you tired of not getting to knock on doors and not getting to give your salvation testimony and see somebody trust Christ as their Savior? I certainly am. And by the way, my wife and I, we were so fed up with not getting to knock on doors. We were so fed up with not getting to witness and being told to not do that, that just a few days ago, I decided to knock on some doors. I was just tired of not knocking on doors. Third door in, we were received with graciousness. And a young man and his sister bowed and trusted Christ as their Savior. Third door in. By the way, God is still working on people's hearts. Christ's blood still saves. We are still here left on this side of eternity for a purpose. And as a charge to all of you, as well as my wife and I, in an ever-changing world, in a world that has given up, and a world that seems darker and darker, as a grand army of Christians, let's accept this call, but continue.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhouse, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.